to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for also listening to our sponsors and supporters. By the way, we're bringing on another sponsor for the show, and it's at Robinson & Stith Insurance in New Bern, and we're going to say welcome aboard. We're working on bringing them aboard soon. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Glenn Fink.
Kim Fink.
Well, welcome, everybody. And now we got to figure out what we got to have as topics. Now I know the topics are. I guess we need to have a topic somewhere called Iran.
Yes.
Well, I think that's taken some interesting turns. It was interesting to me that Iran decided to attack some of its Arab neighbors, and their goal was to try to turn people against Israel, but. When you start attacking your friends tend to decide that maybe you're not their friend.
And it wasn't just some, it was like a dozen is
yes.
the number I heard.
Yeah.
So it was a significant number, and they seemed indiscriminate.
And a major officer of the Iranian Guard was killed in Beirut recently, which tells you that a lot of the mucky mucks have gotten away from the war and they're trying to hang out in the other Arab countries.
But you also know that fear is the motivator that all of these Arab countries use. That's why it's called terrorism.
Yeah.
So if you look at them attacking supposed allies in the region, it's a warning. It's a subtle warning. Watch what you do because we can reach you. Don't side with the Americans because, you know, we're right here. Don't forget. I think that it was a warning that's backfired on them.
Well, the scary part to me, too, was Iran has been sending cluster bombs into Israel. And cluster bombs are not aimed at military targets. They're aimed at civilians. And they've been outlawed by whoever outlaws such things. And obviously, Iran does not pay a lot of attention to who outlawed what. But one of the interesting things to me that happened, Iran is attacking ships, and the Lloyd's of London said they were not going to insure anybody going through the Straits of Hormuz. So Donald Trump stepped up and said we would underwrite that. He can't charge anything because of the recent ruling on tariffs, so we're doing it for free. But at least we're keeping the flow of oil, which will, I mean, it's already back down to 77.
Oil to friendlies.
Yes. It's already back down to 77 a barrel, which is not low, but it's certainly much better than 100 and whatever it was.
Well, and all that's been based on talk. No, we have not been supporting any shipment because they haven't got Iran in a position where they're comfortable they won't attack some movement. All the movement yesterday was based on they thought one ship came through with assistance and it was inaccurate information. So it went from like 120 down to 70. So it's all based on conjecture now. There hasn't been actual movement that would say we got a system to get them through yet.
But it does show Glenn, I think I agree with you 100%. It does show you, though, how emotions and these financial reactions, and some of this is pre-programmed. This is not a human being necessarily making a decision about the threat. Some of this is pre-programmed, AI, and so on. And the problem is that a problem gets created by overreacting to something. Look at what's happening with the gas prices.
Yeah.
None of our oil that we use goes through the Strait of Hormuz, okay? Mm-hmm. But look at what's happened to the price of gas in the last 2 weeks. It's gone up, what, 50 cents a gallon? I mean, most of the places right by today, it's $3.69. Where it used to be, you know, 259, 270. Mm. And what I don't like about it, the oil companies who are selling the gasoline now, the oil that they purchased months ago at a much lower price.
Yeah, they're predicting
so they go
the future.
Ahead, yeah, but what they're doing is they're making the consumer pay for something that they haven't, they've had no increase in price yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we are being caught with, and you know, with this price increase. To me, that should be challenged and investigated, because, you know, it's one thing if you go out and you go to a store and you buy a chicken, and that store owner had to pay, you know, $1 a pound, and then it goes up to $2.50 a pound. They pass that on. They're passing it on without any additional cost. They haven't paid any additional cost.
Mm-hmm. I have two concerns with this. Straits of Hormuz, and yesterday they were talking about destroying 16 mine laying vessels.
Yes.
And we don't know if there had been anything laid previously, and I'm saying that based on Trump's remark where he said if they were not removed, aforementioned or something like that, that made me think that there might be something that they know about that is already in place, number one. Number two, it really bothers me that they have named Khomeini's son as the new supreme leader, because that tells me that what little leadership there is in that country right now is not looking to make a regime change.
No.
And that's really scary, because that was what we were hoping for. Our country was hoping that the people of Iran would take this opportunity to force an election, to force a change in regime, and not sit back and just accept.
Well, they can't go out on the street, because they're told if they go out on the street, they'll be gunned down by the Revolutionary Guard and the police. And the population is unarmed. This is one of your best arguments for an armed population that we will ever see. Now, the hope here is the Kurdish troops, which rumor has it, is on, and again, it's a war. The first casualty of war is truth.
Tell us who the Kurdish people are.
They live in a section of Iran by themselves. Actually, the place that they live is the oil-rich territory in Iran and Iraq, and they have been American, historically, have been American allies. We really should at some point give them their own nation, but we haven't done that. But and a lot of them, from what I understand, a lot of them are Christians. But the Kurds evidently are on the ground. But the fact that they chose Khomeini's son, first of all, nobody has seen him. He's evidently been severely wounded. He is a figurehead. The IRGC, the Republican Guard, is who is running the country right now. And they're a rabid bunch, if I may use that word. And the only way you're going to see regime change is if the Iranian Guard and the Iranian police decide that they don't want to shoot down their fellow Iranians anymore. And it may come, that may happen, but that takes a while.
And there's been a lot of different information about the Kurds and if, when, all that sort of stuff, that they might become part of this thing. But there's sounds like there's a lot of downside to that, and I don't sense it's likely to come about that they will be ground forces. And if it is, I think it would be more in a defensive posture. Now, you might have more information than I do about that, but I've heard several past, you know, military people talk about this, and I don't think we should expect that's going to make a big difference on this war.
Well, they're the only armed people. That's part of it.
Is there enough of them?
I don't know. The other part of it, too, is we don't know how thoroughly Mossad has infiltrated various groups within the IRGC and the police force, and we have no way of knowing what's going on there.
That's our best hope, we've got people embedded that can tear it down from the inside.
Yes. I think from the comic perspective, okay, they had to bring back somebody just like Baghdad Bob. We're winning, we're doing this, so we've destroyed this, that, and the other thing. And they brought that back, and of course, there's still some U.S. newspapers, whether it's the New York Times or whatever else, that have to believe that kind of stuff.
Well, their military bench is obviously a lot deeper than any of our government officials thought it was, because they have seemingly moved forward in this war without their top leadership.
Well, their military bench may be deeper than we thought, but their military equipment has been seriously dealt with?
Based on news yesterday, I would assert that they had more than what we were aware of, especially mm-hmm. when they talked about the enriched uranium.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know what we don't know.
Well, the IDF already found another underground uranium site, which they destroyed. The question is, how many more are there? But in terms of weaponage, if I can use that word, we can out-weaponage them. And eventually we will do that.
Well, they showed a lot of tunnels with a lot of stuff in it. So I don't know. Sorry,
Alan. Yeah, that's okay. What I was going to comment on, I think you might have mentioned this, Kim, the other countries in that area have been attacked, but they really have not responded. Like Saudi Arabia, they have armed forces, they have a military, and you would think since they've been attacked by Iran that they would come up to the table and be part of what's necessary to overthrow the regime. I'm pretty confident that President Trump's not going to put any of our troops on the ground. I think when he gets to the point where he's done all he can to destroy their military capability, he's going to have to stop. I don't think he has much choice.
The other thing to watch, too, is what's happening in Lebanon, because Lebanon has been hurling rockets at northern Israel for a while now, and Israel has been evacuated some major portions of Israel with the idea that they were going to pretty much level them. So that's another thing. And again, they killed an IRGC leader in Beirut. So they're hanging out in some of those other countries also.
Same topic, change of location. Two terrorists throwing shrapnel bombs
in front of
Gracie Mansion in Mandami's district, and then he serves for dinner terrorist leadership. Irony there. Does anybody not see the connection that Mamdani is more concerned with the illusion of everybody loves us and I'm your first Muslim mayor and I'm such a good guy, but he doesn't care about the Americans.
And he tried to blame the attack on Americans rather than the ISIS people that did attack.
And he wasn't calling them terrorists or ISIS.
No.
I think they should have had a ribs dinner there. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If bailing wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and welcome back. And we're going to head off in a direction, I think, continuing on with in New York.
Yeah, that was it was interesting, Bob, that this several days ago when they had a protest in front of Gracie Mansion, which is the mayor of New York's residence, they had a group of people who were pro-Iranian, if I'm not
Yes.
Wrong, right? They were pro-Iranian people, not supporting the regime, but supporting freedom for the Iranian people. I believe that's who was the... But anyway. And they were attacked with these fire bombs or some sort of hand-thrown bombs by these two, what they were, 18-year-olds?
Something like that.
Somewhere they were young.
They were around that age, but...
Parents were naturalized citizens.
Yeah, but they were shouting, you know, Allah Akbar and all these other things. But the interesting thing about it, when they looked into their background, first of all, they found additional munitions in Pennsylvania where these people actually lived. They had a storage area. And also, both of these two young men, they're not kids, they're young men, had been to Islamic countries and were exposed. I mean, I think that's where they were recruited. That's where he encouraged to do that. And of course, the mayor of New York City, he wouldn't accept did not indicate that, you know, it was an Islamic terrorist attack. He was trying to downplay it and blame the protesters or whomever.
They were even indicating that these two men didn't know each other. So this is total coincidence that they decide to have the same kind of bomb and throw them on the same day.
I don't believe that.
But they said there was no association or no found association. Isn't that why they call it sleeper cell?
That's why they call it. And if you remember what they did with the little pagers, because they could not come up with the linking between everybody. So those little pagers said, oh, yes, we just linked you.
The other thing on this is these weren't just firebombs, as I understand it. They had
nails and shrapnel.
And something that was expected to explode but didn't, that would have caused significant
They
harm.
Had the kind of bombs that have been used in Israeli terror attacks on Israel for years. And the way that it's done in Israel, which is horrible, is it's set off, so it goes off at about waist level, and then there's a secondary explosion that goes off about the time they figure the first aid people are coming in and goes after them. It's a horrible thing, and it's the CNN and the New York Post, not the New York Post, I'm sorry, CNN tried to blame it on, you know, it was Americans and... You know, it was the right wing and all this other garbage. It was not. It was kids that were tied in with ISIS.
And one of the two gentlemen had posted on a social networking site days prior to that they wanted an event bigger than the Boston bombing.
Yes. Yes.
And if you recall that was pressure cookers.
Yes.
With shrapnel.
Mm-hmm.
And these, you said kids, but just to clarify, they were over 18, as I understand.
Yes.
So they may be young adults, but they're not kid punks.
Okay, Mary, talk to us about their upbringing and their families, because I think that's important.
Well, their parents are naturalized citizens.
Which means?
They came here from another country and became citizens. But there's no indication of any problem with the parents.
Where were these boys born? Were they born in this country, or were they...
I don't know the answer to that.
Because, you know, a lot of times, parents' beliefs are not the children's beliefs, just like we nurtured our children in church all through growing up, but when they went to college, did they continue going to church on Sunday, or did they choose to worship St. Mattress?
I don't accept the idea the parents were informed. If you have an 18-year-old and they're going to a foreign country, two Islamic countries, you've got to know that that's going on. Who doesn't know that your 18-year-old son has gone off somewhere for that period of time?
Oh, they may know that, but they don't know.
But the point is, they don't investigate it. They're not interested in it because you're not going there to, you know, to.
But that's why I asked where the boys were born, because they could have been going over to see grandpa and grandma, not going over to become radicalized. That's what we don't know.
Yeah. Well, the parents should know what they're going for. I don't relieve the parents of this responsibility.
We radicalize our own kids here in public education, and I guarantee you there are parents who don't know what their kids are doing or thinking or saying.
And I'm guarantee there are parents that are informed of it and aren't concerned enough to do anything about it.
I think
that's the bigger problem.
How many parents radicalize their kids by bringing them home, sticking them down in front of television, and let them watch whatever PBS without any concern as to what they were being taught?
Mm-hmm. Daycare. Mm-hmm. You know what? Mm-hmm. What do you get in daycare?
But you know, there's one thing about the sleeper cells. One thing that concerns me, remember it was, what was it, about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, where that 21-year-old drove down from, was it New Jersey, and he went to Mar-a-Lago, and he had a shotgun, and he had a can of gasoline. He was able to infiltrate Mar-a-Lago. What kind of Secret Service protection do we have for the president with somebody with a shotgun gets in? Now they stopped him, but the point is, that was just a single individual. What if it had been an organized attack by a group of people sponsored by Iran or whatever? I mean, this protection for the president, this is not number one now.
It
happened at Butler, it happened at his golf course.
I agree.
That Secret Service protection for the president is inadequate.
Part of what I wonder with all this protection and stuff, we talk about Mossad infiltrating Iran. What about Iran infiltrating our Secret Service? You know, who's to say that hasn't happened? If you even if you look at the Muslim influence in our own General Assembly and in the call to prayer in New York now and the Somali things in Minnesota, I think we have a lot of other areas that we can connect, Alan.
Well,
I agree.
We again watching that series on the spies, you know, the spy networks or whatever else. And what we learned about our own spy networks is the modern spy person is there just to make sure he doesn't make mistakes. Not that he recruits good agents or whatever else, but just that person doesn't make mistakes. Now, that's about as wrong as you can get.
So, Mary, you were talking about New York and the number of naturalized citizens versus U.S. citizens and how that could impact how Mamdani got elected?
Yeah, 37% of New York City's population is foreign-born. So that's over one-third of the population.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is have some college kids who live there or whatever who think socialism is wonderful vote for him, and he's elected.
But he promised everything for free. Free transportation.
That's exactly right.
Everything. He promised everything.
Groceries.
Yeah, and you know, the thing, this is an issue. If you look at the Constitution, you cannot run and be elected for president if you're naturalized. You have to be a native-born American. That should be extended to many, if not all, political offices. Mamdani wouldn't be in office. This Ilhan Omar wouldn't be in office. These people come from these other countries, and they stay here long enough to be naturalized. But their belief systems and their traditions is the opposite of what we have in this country. And to me, that's a change that should be made. We don't need these people coming in from other countries, and they're not committed. And some of them want to retain dual citizenship. That's another issue, shouldn't be allowed. And it needs to be stopped.
Okay. One of the bomber's parents were born in Turkey, and he was evidently not born in America. The other's parents were from Afghanistan, and it doesn't look like he was born here either.
Okay, I want to segue this conversation into the Save America Act, because it goes along with the population and who's voting. And Chuck Schumer just said that we couldn't pass the Save America Act because it would take millions of people off the voter rolls.
Immediately take 20 million off the rolls, yeah.
And I'm thinking, are you just admitting that you guys are cheating by having illegal people that you know are voting, or are you saying that women are too stupid to figure out how to change their names, and or I'm a person of color and I'm too stupid to know what to do to get an identity? I don't understand how anybody on the progressive side of the spectrum doesn't take that as an insult.
Well, I think the one that gets me is that married women are too stupid to get anything done under their new name. Now, I'm just suggesting, I'm going to ask you, Kim, I'm assuming that at some point in your, somewhere in your possession, you have a Social Security card. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Does it have the name Fink on it?
Yes, it does.
So you, at some point in your life, after you got married, were smart enough to get your proper name on your Social Security card.
You silly girl, I didn't change my birth certificate. That's what they're saying. Well, the name on the birth certificate is what they're looking for.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. How dumb do you think we are?
But they're using the birth certificate as a reference source. But if it's traceable, if the name change is traceable, it's still valid. It still accomplishes the same thing.
If you have your birth certificate, if you have a passport, if you have a Social Security card.
Marriage license.
That's even better.
Just want to pass.
And all you have to do to get a marriage license is send an email to wherever you got married, and they'll send it to you.
Just want to pass on that our son-in-law was saying, he said, if I realized it was so easy that when they got married, if he could have changed his name to becoming Clark Griswold in the military. I mean,
that would have been funny.
But again, the traceability is relatively easy. And
people aren't as stupid as some of these politicians would want the general public to know. But I think the biggest offense to me, what's offensive to me, is that John Thune will not bring it to the floor for an open debate. He says we don't have the vote to get it to pass. I want to know who isn't going to vote to pass it, and then I want to know why, and then I'm going to follow the money, and then I'm going to go public and say, okay, this is why, and this is why.
Let's continue this, Ed.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here from our sponsors and supporters again. Thank you for listening to our CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you're taking us for a quick roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up our conversation about the SAVE Act, which stands for actually requiring citizens only be able to vote in our elections, which it's such a rational thing. Well, that's all the federal government can control. But that would control a lot of the meaningful elections. But anyway, the idea is that this country was founded on the idea that the people will control the direction and decisions and what happens in the government. Okay. The polls show that like 86-90% of people, including Democrats and Republicans, are in favor of only citizens voting. And here we have a Senate that is controlled by the Republicans that will not go along with the will of the people. To me, that's treasonous in my opinion, because it's not a 50-50 issue. It's predominant. And that's what, you know, what troubles me is that they're not reinforcing the will of the people, and that's very troubling.
I have a question for you on that, Alan, because your background, you understand more about minds and psyches and reasoning and blah, blah, blah. I think that on the Republican side, are they not pushing it because they want to keep this as a campaign battle call in their midterm elections to the Republicans, saying, hey, you better elect me or reelect me, because you know these Democrats, they're not gonna let us have the SAVE Act. And then on the same thing, the Democrats don't want it for their own nefarious reasons, but the Republicans aren't pushing back, and that makes me extremely angry, and I want to follow the money on that.
I think part of the issue has to do with the filibuster.
Explain that.
I think because the filibuster rule, which was not in the Constitution.
Right.
Okay, it's not part of the Constitution. It doesn't exist. It used to be require 67 votes out of 100 in the Senate to pass a bill. They reduced it to 60, but that's still very difficult. But what happens as a result of that is that the minority party can block anything the majority can do, because the majority can't do anything without the minority party siding with them. So it really emasculates, in my opinion, the majority. And the Senate is supposed to be enforcing the will of the people, which is the majority.
But
we've given it up for this. And I think part of the issue is they don't want to do it because they don't want to deal with the reality of what might happen if the other side gets in power.
But isn't the purpose of the filibuster to hold up the taking of the vote?
It's to hold up any legislation the minority doesn't agree with.
So that's the purpose. So how does it work?
Well, it used to work where they would require the minority that was opposed to a certain bill, they'd have to stand up and explain why they were against it.
Without any break,
they could not give up the microphone, if you will, and they would continue on. But now they've gotten to the point where the opposing side, they don't have to stand up and take a position individually. All they have to do is say, we're against it. We're going to filibuster. And the majority caves in. So what should be done, at least, is that the Republicans should go to the Democrats and say, all right, you want to stop this, you start talking. Every one of you, you stand up and keep talking, we'll see who sides against it. Then the people in the country would see who was actually opposed to citizens voting. Here they hide behind it and say, well, you know, it's the party, it wasn't necessarily me. Here they'd have to stand up and be counted, which I think would go a long way to stopping this stuff. But it's really, to me, it's, and Trump has come out and he said, he said the other day that if they don't pass the SAVE Act, then there's a lot of other things he wasn't going to endorse, other things that they may want. Because to me, it's critical. It's critical to this election
coming up. I don't understand how anybody, I don't care what party you are, I don't understand, I can't rationalize or make sense out of why any citizen should think somebody has those rights that wasn't born here.
Well, the way to find out is to make them stand up and explain why they're against it.
Or why
that's the whole point. And they're not making, the Republicans are not making the Democrats stand up and be counted so that people can see who are opposed, who is opposed to their beliefs.
To me, the dynamic is that the Democrats know it will weaken their voting position in November, and they're willing to take the heat from the majority that likes this and thinks it should be done. They're making a choice, and they're going to take the heat from them to keep it in place through this next election.
Yeah, and the same thing they're doing with defunding or not passing a budget that would fund the Department of
TSA.
Homeland Security, because that's the same thing. They're hoping to keep the illegal aliens and the people that are here that might be threatened by ICE. They're trying to keep them on their side. So they don't care if they destroy the rest of us because our security's gone down at the airports. They're not getting paid. And a lot of other, this Coast Guard's not getting paid. They don't care about that. All they care is whether it's going to help them get elected. I agree with you.
To add on to that, Alan, the State of the Union address, when the president was reciting out of the constitutional, the main function of government is to protect its citizens and to stand up with me, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't. And here again, I don't care what your party is. Do you, living in Newbern, North Carolina, it's very difficult for me to think that a foreign entity would be cared more about than the citizens that surround me. I can't picture our sheriff or our House of Representatives doing that.
Well, the problem is, Kim, is they hide the facts. And by not relating the actual facts, then they put a cover on it. They say, well, you don't want to be unfair to these immigrants. They have a right to stay here. You don't want to be unjust to them. I want to respond to what you said about security. There was a report that I read the other day about the crimes committed by illegals. And this is a period from 2011 to 2016. That's a five-year period. Actually, it's worse now because we had the open borders when Biden was in. During that period of time, there were 1 million drug violations in the country by illegals. There were 33,000 homicides by illegals. There were 500,000 violent assaults. There were 110,000 auto thefts where they commandeered the person, all that kind of stuff. And there were 132,000 sex offenses. That is a lot of crime that would not have happened if those people weren't here. But the people don't know those facts. I mean, how many people have heard those? And I guarantee it's gotten worse.
Well, I don't understand how they can continue to misrepresent that this is an assault against ICE's capability when they're funded through, 28 or 29, and this has nothing to do with ICE. Yeah. So they're taking protection away from us based on them not liking ICE, and it has zero impact.
Right.
And
right.
It doesn't seem to be called out because it's so distorted on the mainstream media, which is what most of the ones that are in support of this listen to.
That is the problem.
So, based on a previous comment on sleeper cells and us talking about airport security and TSA, what's it going to take? We're going to have an event. Somebody's going to die. What's the blame game going to look like at that point?
They're going to blame Trump. I don't care what the reason is. They will blame Trump. Anything that Trump does, they're against. And see, this is the danger with this country. If people really were, any intelligent person could look back and say, well, how were the 4 years during the Biden administration? We had open borders. We had mandatory green energy requirements. They were going to take away your vehicle that was if it was fossil fuels. So all these things that, and Trump has reversed all that.
Your gas
stove. But what's going to happen if the Republicans don't win this election in the fall? All that stuff's coming back. They're going to stop Trump, and then all that stuff's going to come back. You're going to have it in spades. So it's a lot riding on this election, more so than normal.
But they're fighting the battle in the media with a lot of the media's help, and they're not fighting it with the clear, concise sentences. They've got certain ways of phrasing it emotionally. And then just dumping it in your lap emotionally.
So maybe Trump should pull a Biden and go bury himself in the basement and then have his rulers from on high come back behind him and carry out his agenda that he knows nothing about, and then they say it's not Trump.
Now, I'm scrolling Twitter right now, X right now, and there are some very angry people out there about the SAVE Act not being voted on. And the movement that I'm seeing is there's a number of posts saying, replace John Thune with Mike Lee and let's get this done. In order to do that, they need 5 senators to come forward and call a conference, and it goes from there. So it's not a very complicated or difficult process.
Do we know if Mike Lee would be interested in it? Because the last time this happened, we couldn't get anybody willing to do it.
That's true.
My understanding, he is.
We have no idea if 5 people have the courage to come forward. Yeah. But the bottom line here is the pressure is increasing on John Thune. President Trump has said he will not sign anything into law until... until the SAVE Act is passed. And I don't know. I don't know how Thune stands up to the pressure.
I don't know that a threat from Trump saying he won't pass anything has a negative impact on the left. They would love us not to accomplish anything else. So I don't, that sounds like a tough position, but it's leaning on the right and it's shooting himself in the foot.
Who is there to put the pressure on Thune? He's being such a panty waste with not saying we're gonna battle this out. We have seen other members of Congress battle things out from years back. Trey Gowdy and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio all go to battle over things on the floor in public. We need to be able to know.
I think what we can do is we have to contact our senators. We have 2 senators. I wouldn't contact Tillis, but I would contact Ted Budd, write him, contact him, and let him know what you want done.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll try to keep this lively conversation going in just a couple of minutes.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for, I hope you're enjoying the show. We're going to change hats and go over to Social Security.
Yeah, just briefly, Bob, I think it's something that a lot of people should be very concerned about. Those who are receiving Social Security, which is a pretty good percentage of the population, and also those who are anticipating perhaps that they will receive Social Security in the future. Now, Trump has helped by reducing or eliminating the tax on Social Security benefits, which always irked me, because here you put in all your life, you put this money in, and then when they start giving you back the money you put in, you have to pay taxes on it. It's always irritated me. But what's happening, there's a couple of factors that are impacting on Social Security. Number one is people are living longer. When the Social Security system was first established in the 30s, the average lifespan was probably about 65, 66 years of age. Now it's, and for men, it's like 78, 79. For women, it's usually about 3-4 years old. So people are on the benefits a lot longer than they had originally planned. That's one problem. Second problem is AI. AI is reducing the number of workers and may continue to do that. So the number of people that are paying into Social Security becomes less, and the number of people who are collecting Social Security. And I'm not sure, you know, there's a couple of options that have been talked about.
What about the fraud?
Well, you know, fraud is something that needs to be identified and stopped. And Trump, you know, after that fiasco up in Minneapolis, with all the Somalis and their fraud on, that was not just Social Security. That was on almost every social program.
Mm-hmm. Every way you could rip
the daycare center.
And they're not the only ones. But you're right. I mean, that fraud is an issue. And Social Security, it used to be specific for people, older people and so on. Now there's so many people on Social Security because they have a claimed disability.
Yes.
Now that disability may be very marginal. I had this one lady that worked for me, and she started coming to work kind of blinking with one eye and kind of twitching her shoulder. And I said, gee, what's wrong? And she said, this is developing. I don't know, it's bothering me. And sure enough, within 6 months, she had applied for and received Social Security disability benefits. There was nothing wrong with her. And when she was working for me, she was doing a reasonably acceptable job. But she was motivated to get off work and stop working, and she was able to get Social Security indefinitely.
One of the things that Doge found when Elon Musk was working with Doge was there were people above the age of 140 collecting Social Security. Now, I'd like to meet those people and find out their longevity secrets, because obviously they're doing something. But I honestly believe that if we cut the fraud out, and that would be the disability fraud as well as the people collecting Social Security after the recipient has died.
Or the illegals.
Yes, that's another one. I think if we cleaned up the fraud, the program would survive.
I don't understand how something that blatant, and it sounds like it wasn't a one-off, 140-year-old person.
No, it was
but
a bunch.
How something so blatant can get through even the most basic filtering process
yes.
of evaluation. That's just beyond belief.
And I think it's like, Glenn, is I think the reason for that is the people who are hired by the state, by the federal government, in this case, with Social Security, and they don't monitor it. It's not their money. There's not a close, if you're running a business, you're going to monitor where the money goes, where it's being spent, so on and so forth. But these bureaucrats, they don't care. In fact, I had a friend of mine that had to evaluate a person who was on disability, and he concluded, he was a psychologist, he concluded that the person no longer had a disability. He was sued. He was sued by the because he was not continuing that diagnosis that the person had a disability. So what the message to him was pretty clear. If I try to correct it, I'm going to get heat. I'm going to be attacked. And so
there shouldn't be any function in the government that doesn't have some level of control, as in controllers. Mm-hmm. That makes sure it's functioning.
Auditors.
And I can understand something like that being something that's controversial and could be challenged. But 140 years old, I know that's an example. But there's some stuff that just...
Auditing would be a really good idea.
And on the flip side, it's that coin. I'm sure we all know somebody who has tried to get on disability, who has been turned away from it, who really absolutely positively needed it. And we've looked at them and say, why can't you get it when so-and-so with the twitchy eye can get it? And I have a person in my family who went through that. And the reason he was denied was because the jobs that he had always had were more intellectually done. Mm-hmm. It wasn't physical labor. So he absolutely positively could not do physical labor. He had back issues, rods and screws, and neck issues, and mm-hmm. fusions, and heart attack, bypass, tumor in his heart. Has no physical stamina, could not have a job. And he was turned down because they said his intellectual capacity was not affected, that he could do a job. Well, find a job with those kind of medical stuff and see who's going to hire you.
Yeah.
Exactly. It took him almost 3 years to get on disability and about 10 doctors.
Wow.
Well, you know, I think that there seems to be at least two things they're going to have to do, something. Because we're going to run out of money. I think it's in 2032 now. It used to be 2035, but they've reduced it down. It's going to run out. Social Security is going to go broke. So they got to do one of two things. They've got to increase collections. And one way they could do that is that there's still a salary cap. If you reach that salary cap, you stop paying Social Security that year. And they could do away with that. That would add some additional revenue. The other thing they could do is... increase the retirement age.
They've already done that.
Well, they may need to do more of it. The point being is that people are living, like I said earlier, they're living at least 10 to 15 years on average longer than when it was set up at 36, and that may help. I mean, you see...
Well, the salary cap was put there because there's a limit on how much you can collect. So that was supposed to be a fairness thing. That if they, you know, if they stopped taking it out of your salary after a certain level, they were also going to limit how much you could collect when you started collecting.
Yeah, but the point is the system with the rules now is not working.
That's
so something
true.
Is going to have to be done.
Yes.
And it's like for most politicians, it's something they don't want. It's a hot poker for them.
Yeah,
they
Trump accounts.
Touch it.
They don't want to face that.
Yeah. But yet, if they cleaned up the fraud... and then looked at the numbers again, that might make it more palatable to make whatever changes were needed.
Who is they?
Well, that's the point I was going to say. It's Vance. Vance is the fraud guy. Trump has assigned Vance to be the fraud guy. And if he wants to be president and he doesn't crush this fraud thing, forget about it.
I mean, how much illegal money is earned under the table and sent overseas?
Yeah.
You've got to get that being earned on the table. Get our Social Security out of that. Keep it from going overseas.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to change topics, Mary.
Okay. It was announced recently that we are going to build the first oil refinery in the United States in 50 years. We're going to build it in Brownsville, Texas. It's another step toward energy independence. And this is an investment by an Indian company called Reliance. And they are putting up, I don't know how much money to build this thing. But again, it doesn't do us any good to pull the oil out of the ground if we can't refine it.
But an Indian company, why an Indian company?
Because they were willing to invest the money.
But doesn't that make us susceptible, not independent? I mean, if another country owns the refinery, we're still under somebody else's thumb.
Well, at the very least, the profit that's being made is going to go to India, not the people in the United States. That's one thing. Now, whether they'll have some special deal where they get a certain percentage at a fixed or reduced rate or something.
Well, they're
doing it for some reason.
The jobs are going to go to Americans. So that's a step. And again, we will have refining capability on American soil that we don't have now.
And I think that's good.
New capabilities, yeah.
I think it's good that we're getting an oil refinery. I don't think it's good that it's another company. And I'm not so sure that India has been our ally so great recently. So
But all this tariff stuff, all these negotiations and the boasting of $8 trillion, $10 trillion, that's foreign money. They're not sending us foreign money. They're building businesses here that are their country's efforts. And it builds up our economy. And I'm not as against it as long as it's framed in a way that everybody
works.
Gets a good deal. And,
yes.
And if anyone's going to frame it to make it a good deal, I think Trump will help do that.
Yes.
So at this point, I'm in support of it till I see something that says, because otherwise we won't build businesses like
and
we would.
And again, we haven't built an oil refinery in 50 years. That's horrible.
And the other thing, Mary, is other sources of energy like coal, coal plants. We haven't built those in years either. We've been forcing their closure.
What about nuclear?
Nuclear is the same way. I mean, and if you look at the demands that AI is going to put on the electricity grid, it's amazing. It's and you're not going to be able to. And if we can't maintain the AI improvement, the danger is, of course, we're going to be dominated by the Chinese again. They're going to be coming up with all these AI strategies and leave us in the dust. And so we have no choice. We've got to get more energy at a cheaper price in this country.
Well, I like where Trump's going with that, and that is if you have a power need, you build your own power. And that's not a new idea. Pulp and paper mills always have their own power generation. Big chemical plants always have their own power generation. That's not new. So that is easily accomplished.
And there's also something about pocket nuclear electricity generators, the small ones that they can...
Modular?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's an option, too.
And that also helps in terms of preventing a large-scale breakdown.
A grid. It protects the grid by having the high power use on site.
Yeah.
So it protects the grid.
I mean, some of us are old enough to remember the blackout of 1965.
65,
yeah.
The only thing we can hope is that the electorate, the voters, will make sure when they go to the polls in the fall that they recognize that all these things that we're talking about that are improvements are all going to be eliminated if they don't vote in a direction that keeps the country moving forward.
Folks, on that, we're going to have to wrap up the show, and I hope that you'll join us again next week. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a great week.